Woo! What are you doing?
Recording. What?
I said, what are you doing?
I know you told me to stop moving, but I didn't.
Of course you didn't. When does Grace ever do anything that she's asked to do?
When have I ever done anything?
I
All right.
mean, that's a fair question, though.
It really is.
Yeah, so we are back from our mid-season hiatus.
Welcome back. What did you do over the hiatus, Chad? Tell us.
I went to a music festival and had a really great time. I got burnt in the sun because the sun decided, hey, it's that time of June where I come out and stay out forever. And what was really funny was the singer from MGMT the whole time was like directly in the sun. And he was just like, I swear he was dying. He was just like, ugh. Like the whole time.
Oh my
It was
That's amazing.
quite entertaining. So he was just like, do you guys like music festivals?
Truly shame whenever I have to go outside.
So we're back. It's welcome back to It's 2 a.m.
Welcome back. Wow. It's been 84 years.
It truly has. I found the heart of the ocean. Isn't that what it was called from Titanic? I don't know. I hate Titanic.
I've never seen that film.
You are truly not missing out on anything,
Thank you.
except for the one guy jumping off the boat and hitting his leg on like the propeller and then flipping into the water. That was really funny. That's my favorite part of the whole movie. The rest of it's garbage.
All right. Well, good to know. Chad's review of Titanic. Garbage.
So this episode we are doing underrated comedies.
Woo! I
Which
am also recording remotely, if you couldn't tell from the sound quality.
Yes, it's true. Grace and I are not in the same location.
Sadly.
I know. I miss Jersey. I miss the greenery of Jersey.
Yeah.
It is the Garden State.
It sure is.
Watch Garden State by Zach Braff.
Guys, watch Garden State.
The
All right,
Shins
so
saved my life.
the Shins did save my life. things I have unironically said. So underrated comedies.
Yes, so I think we're gonna start with happy endings.
Yes. A good
So,
one.
yes, I loved happy endings.
I
I thought it was a great show.
adore it. Yeah, it's so good.
I actually wish it never got canceled. I don't know why they canceled it, honestly.
Was it NBC? I feel like they're stupid about stuff.
No, it was actually an ABC show.
Oh, ABC.
If it were on NBC, I feel like it might have fared slightly better, just because it feels more like an NBC show than an
Kind of
ABC show.
does, yeah.
Well, because it was a show about like 20, no, not 20 something. They were 30 somethings.
They were 30, yeah.
Yeah, they were like 30 somethings, and they're honestly, all of them were kind of how I imagined myself in my 30s, especially Penny.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing pajama overalls and crying. I just always think back to the episode where they were trying to go on a diet or whatever, and she was like, oh, we're cutting sugar out. And then,
Oh, yeah,
like,
she's like
in.
gonna jump off the
Yeah.
balcony.
I'm like, same. Like, I don't eat sugar like that, but if I had to cut it completely out of my diet, I probably would just be like, I'm gonna jump off a bridge.
Pretty much. It's like me whenever anybody says they're gonna go on a diet. I'm like, I would literally rather jump off a bridge. But okay, you do you.
You do you. You'll just be angry, but it's cool.
I think Penny's my fave. She almost feels like the main character to me
I
in a lot of
agree.
ways.
I feel like she was the like member of the friend group that a lot of people gravitated towards. It was like her
or related to.
Yeah, her and who's the other sister with the short hair? Not Alex. Not Alex, what? The other one.
Oh, yes, Penny.
The high-strung one.
Penny?
No.
We just said Penny, I was joking. No, Jane.
Yes, Jane. She is definitely Penny. Another one I related to. It's like her and Penny are like the two aspects of my personality.
I feel like I'm a combination of Penny and, cool, we can't remember any of the characters' names. Adam Pally's character.
Is he the gay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. He was a fun gay. Just because he was
a great gay.
He was just a representation that hadn't been shown before.
He was a great lazy gay, which I relate hard to.
A lazy bro gay.
A lazy bro gay, which is, you know, my goals in life.
Well, he kind of, like, pretended to be... I feel like he pretended more or less to be a bro, where he was just like, I kind of just do that to get dudes. But really, I just am lazy.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I really don't remember what he did for a living on that show.
Did he do anything?
That's the thing, like... is that I don't remember him doing anything ever.
I don't remember what any of them did for a living.
I mean,
what's to be fair,
Alex ran a clothing store.
Oh, right. She had the store.
And then
right.
The dude she left at the altar, whose name I often...
Dave.
Yeah, Dave. He was a chef, wasn't he?
He had a food truck at some point, yeah.
Yeah, so I just assumed he was a chef.
Yeah.
And
sure,
then...
Sure.
I don't know. I don't feel like running through all of their occupations at the moment.
Penny worked at an office.
Jane was like a lawyer, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, maybe Jane was a lawyer. I don't know. But it's funny because, like, not to, like, compare it to Friends, but, you know, they did that on the show, so I feel like it's fair. But, like, I feel like going back to Friends, like, I could name all of their occupations for sure, but then, like, happy endings, I'm like, what did they do other than, like, hang out?
Well, they never, like, showed their, like, they showed their jobs, like, a little bit, but it was more about, like, the random crap that they would get into.
Yeah, it was very, it was, like, way more just, like, and now we're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, since we were talking about the random crap they would get into, let's talk about, like, the pilot episode, which was so funny.
So good.
Because I think it was just, like, within the first, like, 2 minutes, Alex left him at the altar, like, left Dave at the altar.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, like, yeah.
And it was so funny. And I feel like for a while you thought, like, because of the way that they set it up, you're like, oh, you're just going to be on Dave's side, and then Alex is going to be this, like, evil character who comes back periodically or whatever. But they really set it up very well so that you didn't think that she was an evil character. She, like, came back, and you were just like, oh, okay, I kind of get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're definitely, like, setting up, like, that trope where it's like, oh, he gets... like, not gets left to the altar, but, like, the girl, like, chooses somebody else over the guy she's supposed to marry, and it's, like, whatever. Except, like, that roller skating guy never comes back.
He really doesn't. Well, now that you say the roller skating guy, I'm, in my head, just picturing Terry from, like, Reno 911. He's just like, I was murdered. Yeah, but yeah, I just remember it being like a fresh, like, reversal of it, because usually whenever someone's left at the altar, it's always like the female character, but with this one it was just like the guy, and but at the same time they still made him that, like, sweet character that you, like, felt bad for being left at the altar, and then you realize why she left him at the altar after they start to, like, talk about all the terrible things he did in their relationship. We are like, Well, why didn't she leave before that, though?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always like super felt neutral about Dave. I mean, he's like funny, but like, I
I mean, I feel neutral about that actor altogether, like on everything. It's just
yeah,
like a true neutral.
true neutral. Yeah,
But
absolutely.
I
Although
just.
he does such a good job as Dave. Like, as
Yeah.
he's just so good.
I feel like he's continuously playing that same character on other shows, though.
Is he? I what has he been in recently?
Well, he was on LA to Vegas as the boyfriend, and that character seems so much like Dave. He also had like long hair for a second, like it was in a
Oh my
ponytail. It
God.
looked so bad, and I
That's
was like,
hilarious.
please cut it. But he was also on the second season
Please cut
of, yeah,
it.
he's also on the second season of Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, right. Forgot about that, which we will talk about.
Yeah, so I mean that's a good segue. We're really working on our
Natural
natural segues here.
segue. Yeah, except for what we say, natural segue.
I like to bring attention to it so that I can get praise for it later on.
It's super awkward. Yeah. Anyway, Happy Endings, definitely a watch. I think it's on Hulu.
Yes, I believe the entire series is on Hulu. If you haven't seen it, please do, especially if you're like a friend, like a fan of Friends, which I am not, but
Like you
people.
have to mention every episode of this
I just need
podcast.
people to know exactly how I feel about it.
I don't like Friends. I'm so cool.
Well, I just never got into it. That's really all it was. It might be the lack of diversity. I don't know.
It's probably that.
It
All
never
right.
resonated with my spirit.
On to, it is a bit of white nonsense. On to Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes, for a
Speaking
natural segue.
of white nonsense, see, that's a segue.
Yes.
All right.
So for those who have not seen Santa Clarita Diet, it
What are you doing
stars.
with your life?
True, because it is on Netflix, and we all know that if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely have free time to probably waste
Absolutely.
on Netflix.
Absolutely. If you have time to waste listening to our stupid shit.
It stars Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Sure.
Who is literally just like the Dilfiest
He's pretty Delphi, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's about these realtors who are a couple and they have a daughter, and Drew Barrymore
Who
gets
is a lesbian?
not on the show.
What?
What, like Drew
The
Barrymore is.
daughter.
Oh,
No, the
okay.
daughter.
Okay, the
Sorry,
daughter.
not
Okay.
Drew Barrymore.
Oh, okay. Because you just kind of like threw that out there, and I was just like, when did that happen?
In my dreams. No, the daughter is a lesbian, but that's okay. We can talk about
I mean, she can. Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll circle back.
that later.
But yeah, Drew Barrymore's character gets like sick and basically becomes a zombie. But it's not like the zombies that we're all used to on TV. Because it takes place in California, so it's a lot more warm. So it's not like that cold color palette with like The Walking Dead. Plus
That's a good point, actually. That's a good point.
it's a comedy, so it's just fun.
Yeah. It's just fun. I just think it's neat. Yeah, no, it definitely, like, I'm not into the zombie genre at all. I think we talked in our pilot episode about how I don't like The Walking Dead and I don't connect with the zombie genre, but this Santa Clarita Diet is so much fun. It's so just like out there and quirky and kind of like different.
Yeah, I think the only other zombie show that I like, which you have also seen, I believe, is In the Flesh, that British show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so also, if you're weirdly into zombies and also love the gays, you should watch In the Flesh because it has both. And that's the gays might be the only reason why I watched it, honestly.
Oh, and isn't that equality in its essence?
In and of itself, yeah. I mean, Luke Newberry, who's the star of that show, is just adorable. Like, if you want to know what he looks like, just Google him. He is so adorable out of makeup. But Santa Clarita Diet is quite a time, and I have to say, like, the difference between season one and two, I think the jokes got better in season two.
Yeah.
Because they really knew what style of humor they were working towards.
Yeah. I think that they realized that people responded so well in season one to their humor, so they were like, oh, we're just gonna run with it in season two.
Yeah, I agree. They also have, like, great guest stars. Like, Portia de Rossi is in the first season as a doctor. And she's quite funny. Who else? I feel like there was someone else who was a guest star in season one, but I can't remember.
I don't remember season one as well. Mary Elizabeth Ellis plays the neighbor.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love her as the neighbor.
Oh, she's so funny. And then, what is her name? The cop who, like, they're in a relationship after the husband goes missing.
Yeah, which is so funny. It's just like, oh, my husband is missing and is probably dead. Oh, I'm just gonna date his cop best friend. Who is a woman
/ the lead investigator on the case / a woman.
Yeah, it's just very, like, they, like, I want to say it's, like, inexplicable, but they really just,
what,
like,
a mood.
They just mood. Don't acknowledge it at all. They're just like, man, whatever.
I forget her name, but Natalie Morales. I love her in anything, and she's so good.
True. I want her and Rashida.
She's so good.
I want her and Rashida Jones to play, like, sisters in something.
OMG, yeah.
That would be a good pairing.
Angie Tribeca.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I haven't finished watching Angie Tribeca, so she might pop up on there at some point.
She might be on there. Yeah, I haven't finished that either. But, yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed season two. More, like, you know, just as much, if not more, than season one, for sure.
Absolutely. I just...
And I've seen that recently, so it's fresher in my mind than season one.
Mm-hmm.
So, forgive me if I don't remember the details of season one, but...
Well, I guess, like, one particular thing that I definitely want to talk about from season one, because we were talking about... the daughter, Abby, being a lesbian.
She is such a les. Yeah, go ahead.
The kid who lives next door to her.
Who I love.
I do, too.
I love that actor. He's adorable.
I was going to say that. He is adorable. But it's really funny because they seem like they're supposed to be, like, romantic love interests, but they're also just, like, friends, and I just want them to be friends. That's it.
Oh my god, yeah. I think we were texting about this as I was watching season two. I really like their friendship. I think it's so solid. Like, I don't know. I'm usually not respondent to, like, when they're, like, trying to set up a straight romance, but, like... I really enjoy their, like, dynamic as friends. I think that they just have a really solid... They're so funny together, like...
Yeah. I think their through line... I think what they're trying to do with their through line is, like, do that whole friends to dating type thing later on.
Friends to lovers, AO3 trope, yeah.
Yeah, because it seems like where they're trying to transition into it, but I truly think that Abby might just be a confused lesbian and is responding to him just because he is a non-threatening male.
And who among us hasn't been there?
I mean, he definitely has Elijah Wood syndrome.
Elijah Wood syndrome.
Who is another non-threatening male. Like, you just want to put him in your pocket.
Yeah, again, would love... what was it? Pocket wood?
A pocket gay?
No, pocket wood.
Oh, pocket... Oh, a pocket wood. Yes. Just a little pocket wood.
Pocket wood. I do like Abby also as, like, a character. I think at first I was, like, a little annoyed with her shtick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I remember you texting me about that. You're like, she's so annoying.
Yeah, but I actually, definitely now in season two also, I really like her. I think she's really grown into her own character as, like, aside from everything that's happening to her, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, definitely.
Also,
my other favorite character is the shop girl, the Asian girl whose name I cannot remember.
Oh, Ramona.
Yes. She was
so good.
Oh my God. She was so great. Like, how she would, they would, like, go, I think it was a CVS, and, like, they would go to the CVS and just be, like, staring at, like, the aisles, and she'd be like, do you need help?
Oh my God. She was in season one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she was, like,
more of a
back in season two, yeah.
Yeah, and she was more of a focal point in season two. But I don't know if she's coming. I don't think she's coming back for season three, just because of the way that her character left.
Yeah, they gave her a good goodbye though. Like, they gave her a very good, like, final.
Yeah, I mean, they gave her a great arc because they made her seem like she was just going to be that tertiary character who just, like, kind of came back, but then became more of a focal point in season two.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed her arc a lot. They did a good job with that.
Yeah. So, the takeaway from this is go watch Santa Clarita Diet. If not just for Drew Barrymore, do it for Timothy Oliphant's nervous smile. Which he's
so good.
Perfected.
He's so good. So I also love in season two the competing realtors who are like, mega version of them.
Yeah, with Joel McHale's tall ass.
Joel McHale and Maggie Lawson of Psych fame.
Yeah. I always forget how tall Joel McHale is, and then I, like, see him outside of certain settings, and I'm like, God, he's like a giant.
Is he really that tall? What is he, like, 6'4"?
Yeah, but he seems, like, taller. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know if you remember, but he was also, like, on Will and Grace, like, an episode of Will and Grace once.
Really?
Yeah, where Grace was, I don't know, she went to, like, the ballet or something with him.
Oh, yes. They were, like, calling him Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I'm like, I always remember Jack being like, his name is Ian, and he's like, Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
I forgot about that. It's so funny. Yes, I do remember that.
It's very weird, like, the certain things that I remember from Will and Grace. I actually remember so much from that show.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, I've seen it several times.
I think it just...
I'm just really bad at remembering stuff.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, I think it just downloaded into my brain because it's, like, gay content, remember?
Gay culture.
It's like that in Drag Race where I'm always just pulling up random facts and then, like... They're like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
So what is next?
Next we have Schitt's Creek. Well, I have Schitt's Creek next.
Yes. Well, I think that's a good one to segue into.
Talk about an underrated comedy.
It really is.
Yeah. And I think it's getting a little bit more buzz now. Season four seemed to be... I've seen more on it. To be fair, it films up in Canada, but...
I mean, it's also on Pop TV.
And it's on Pop Network, which, you know, the famous Pop Network.
You really have to, like, search your guide history for that.
Pretty much. And it's funny because I first was exposed to it actually from watching the channel. I don't remember what else was why I would have been on this channel or what else I would have been watching or seeing, but like I definitely remember seeing a commercial for it and being like, oh, this looks really, really fucking funny. And also like Catherine O'Hara.
True.
Yeah.
Who basically, in my humble onion, I feel like she's just reprising her role from Beetlejuice. Because it pretty literally much almost feels exactly like Lydia Deetz. Or not Lydia Deetz.
The mom.
Lydia Deetz's mom,
yeah. This is Deetz.
So funny. Especially with, like, all of the wigs that she wears.
Oh, my God. The wigs. The wigs are my favorite character.
Also, her, like...
like, literally...
her, like, accent that you can never pinpoint. You're like, where is this accent from?
It's so good.
It's, like, half she British, does it, she half does it Connecticut.
So well.
Alexis.
I'm, like, obsessed with the way that she says Alexis, though.
Okay, I'm, like, I have to, like, keep quiet whenever I say her, like, you know, Alexis, because, like, my Alexa will come on. And, like, I'm trying not to wake that bitch up.
That's really creepy.
No, it's really... I was watching Schitt's Creek in my room, and literally Catherine O'Hara would say, Alexis. And then, like, my thing would just come on, and I'd be like, stop it! It's like, I don't know what you want. And I'm like, go away!
I don't understand. But yeah, no, the way she... Alexis. Yeah.
No, what's even funnier is, like, my thing is, like, programmed to my voice. So I'm just like, do I sound like Catherine O'Hara? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You do. You do, you gay bitch. You sound like Catherine O'Hara.
So funny.
Well, yeah. I'm obsessed with her. And just... I think, like, they do a really good job of, like, showing how the kids came to be as, like, fucked up as they are. Like, and they're like, good people. I think, like, the point of the show is that they're actually all good people. They just have a lot of, like, external issues and internal issues. But they do such a good job of, like, showing how exactly from what the parents are like, how the kids have come to be fucked up the way that they are.
Yeah, which I do love. Because I think...
yeah.
Because I think when I first started, David was my favorite character. And, like, as I've progressively watched it, I mean, like, David's kind of, like, my close second right now. Because I do like Alexis a little bit more.
Yeah, they're both so great. I think we were talking about this, actually. I don't know that I can pick a fave. I feel like maybe Alexis more recently... like you said, she's just kind of more so won my heart because of her character development.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. It's, like, the way that her character developed, like, changed over the seasons that I've seen. I was really just like, wow, I really like her character a lot. Because David kind of felt like he was just staying stagnant, and I'm just like, so you're just going to be ridiculous all the time.
Well, David, it's funny because he's definitely the one that in the beginning was, like, the most, like, the audience's in point to the craziness of the other ones. He was definitely the more grounded one in the beginning.
Absolutely.
So I think for him, for his character, they didn't need to push him as much. His struggles were more with, like, what he was, like, doing rather than growing as a person, which he has grown as a person, but I think he also, like, it was more about, like, what he was doing and, like, opening the store and, like, all this sort of, you know, like, finding a purpose for his life and that sort of thing.
I agree. Mean, I love his new love interest that they brought in.
Oh my god, Patrick. I mean
he is, he does say that he's, David does say that he's openly pansexual, so, like, him and Stevie in the first season, it's, like, sure, but at the same time, I just, like, didn't like them together, because I'm, like, just be friends. Like, all y'all need to do is be friends. Yeah. Because she kind of, like, whoever that actress is, she reminds me of, like, the Maras, like Kate and Rooney. She seems like the lost.
Oh, really?
She seems like the lost Mara, like in between the two of them, because she looks like if you shoved Kate and Rooney Mara together, that's what she would look like.
Oh my god.
It's very, I don't know. It's very strange, but
I can see it.
Yeah, like I got after I, you know, separated that from my mind. I was able to really like get into her character.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like them together in the first season just because, but it is kind of believable that like they both, like, neither of them really has any real friends, and so, like, they just kind of, like, mistook their closeness for, like, intimacy, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's more what was going on there, rather than, like,
and it was just
they actually romantically liked each other.
Yeah, and then, like, the awkwardness afterwards of them trying to go back to being friends, they're just like, this is uncomfortable. And I'm like, yeah, it's uncomfortable for me, too, as a viewer.
No, the threesome or the thruple storyline is so funny, though.
Oh, my God.
That, like, guy.
I know. I was just like, oh, no.
So funny, though. They were just like, nope, bye.
I mean, it's fair. For a second, I thought it was going to be like a, I thought they were about to do like a Heartbeats type scenario, and I was like,
oh my god,
I was like, please don't, please don't compete,
please don't.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, no, I know you haven't seen the fourth season, but David and Patrick make me want to die. They're so cute.
I mean, Patrick is adorable.
He really is.
Like, even with like trying to ask David out, that was like really funny with the thing with his birthday. And they were in, like,
oh my god, yeah.
And then Stevie was there, and she was just like, I think you're on a date. He's just like, nah, this isn't a date.
Yeah, she's like, it's definitely a date.
Like, homeboy went to the bathroom to cry, because he was just like, But yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Also, I've been, like, noticing in the credits from, like, watching the third season, I think, like, almost all of the Levies are, like, involved in that show to some degree.
Well, who are the other ones? I mean,
I don't know. They're just in, like, the production credits and stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just, well, like, would randomly see the last name, and I'm like, what the F?
Well, Dan Levy, or Levy, or whatever, he's definitely at least directed some of the episodes so far.
Yeah, and I think him and his son, they write them together, like the actor who plays David, because I don't remember his real name.
Oh, that's Dan.
Oh, maybe.
that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, him and the dad, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know they created the show together, but I also think don't they like write a lot of the episodes together too?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe he writes, not directs. I don't know. No fact-checking.
Nope, not at all. If you want facts, go to IMDb. moving on!
Any facts. If you want opinions.
But yeah, takeaway.
Yeah.
Takeaway. Definitely watch the show. It's really funny.
Please watch Schitt's Creek. It is, it's pure enjoyment. It's pure enjoyment.
There's a lot of random people that you would recognize on the show just in as characters.
Yeah, definitely.
Specifically the mayor.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
I mean, the only thing I specifically remember him from is There's Something About Mary.
Right. I forgot he was in that.
I wish I could forget.
Real quickly, do I ship this, Alexis and Ted?
Oh, okay. Ted is the vet, right?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. When they broke up, I was like, this is funny. But as they've slowly kind of done this whole thing of them kind of getting close after being broken up.
Yeah.
I really enjoy them together, especially after Alexis has recognized a lot of her, like, flaws issues that she had when they were dating.
Definitely, yeah. I like them now. Like, at first, it was obviously, like, so bad. Like,
yeah, but it was one of those situations where it's like one person likes the other one more than the other.
Yeah, but I like how they've brought them back together. I think they did a really good job of that, and also, I just really love that actor. He's so great.
True. I mean, I've loved him in almost everything I've seen him in, like. So he was on 90210. He mm-hmm. was he was on an episode of Supernatural.
Dustin Milligan.
Yeah, I mean he's
he was in that terrible Max Landis movie.
Me, him, her.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
If you want to waste an hour and a half of your life, of your gay little life, go watch Me, Him, Her.
Yeah.
There was an hour and a half you can't get back.
I mean, I feel I kind of made you watch that.
You did. It was a ride. I also willingly rewatched it not that long ago because I was like, yeah, but it was a mess.
I mean, he's also in Dirk Gently, so I just assume that him and Max Landis are close buddies.
They are fucking on the DL. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, they're friends.
Yeah, they're friends.
Anyway, John. Let's move on.
Yes.
To great news.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Which has since been canceled, so that's,
you know, oh, rip.
I know. I wish I could rip. Insert a, like, I guess I could, like, insert a sound bit of, ah.
Please don't do that.
I mean, I'm not going to because I'm far too lazy. If I had a soundboard, it would be more likely that I would do it.
Oh my god. If we had a soundboard on this show, like, I...
I would just fill it with Beyonce quotes. Like the one where she goes, I love whales.
I love whales. That is so crazy.
So, yes, great news.
Great news.
It's from Tracy Wigfield's, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She worked on 30 Rock, so if you love 30 Rock, it is in the same vein as that and Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, she was basically Tina Fey's, like, mentee. She was her protege.
Yeah. Which I think she learned quite a bit from her because the comedy style is spot on.
Yeah, it's very similar, but, like, not in a way where you're like, oh, this is just copying 30 Rock, you know?
It felt like that in the first season to me a little bit, but I think literally what it was is the sound, because they used the same sound.
Oh, dude. It's Jeff Richmond, yeah.
Yeah, the same guy who does 30 Rock and Kimmy Schmidt, so it's, like, all of the same sounds.
Yeah, that's Tina Fey's husband.
Ah. You know, so now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It is a very similar soundtrack, you're right. Also, I, disclaimer, I am having some crazy weather here right now, so I don't know if you can hear that.
What, do you have wind?
No, it's like wind and thunder. It's really loud.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's quite loud. It literally just started. Anyway, great news.
So, oh, I kind of hear it now.
Can you? Yeah, it's really fucking loud.
You're just, like, caught in an actual thunderstorm.
Yeah, a little bit. Eye of the storm here. Eye of the tiger.
It's that scene from Wizard of Oz.
It is. I'm about to be picked up and thrown away in the middle of this podcast.
I mean, that would be quite the spectacle.
We would really get noticed then.
Absolutely. So, I think with great news, one of the things that I loved about it was, I think it's, honestly, I feel like my favorite character from the entire show was Carol.
Was what?
Carol.
Oh, yeah. Well, my favorite character is Portia, but...
Oh, okay. Well, I also... I feel like I loved Portia more in the second season because she got featured more than she was in the first season. She just had some, like, great one-liners in the first season.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm here for
no, I do
anything
love Carol.
Nicole Richie's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. She's hysterical. I was like, thank God we all acknowledge Nicole Richie as a comedic genius.
I'm thinking about that episode when she was just like, I'm in a panopticon. She's like, I constantly say that. And then they would do, like, flashbacks, and she's just like, I'm in a panopticon. I'm in a panopticon. But that was so funny. Like, the bits that they would do with Portia were so funny because, like, I think specifically I'm remembering that episode where her and, who was the main girl? Was her name, like, Abby or something?
Abby? Katie,
that's what it was.
I like that we can't remember anyone's name.
I mean, you know, generic white girl names, sometimes I just forget.
It's true.
Yeah, well, it was the episode where Katie was, like, trying to hang out with her all the time.
Yeah.
And then, like, Portia's like, oh, yeah, I only get, like, 30 minutes of sleep a day or something. Like, she just goes out, is a socialite, parties, and then comes to work at the news station and still looks fresh.
So good.
She's like, you can't do what I do because it's like rich people stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's just like on a different level of like being a human.
Which I wish I was on, because if I could like function on like that little amount of sleep.
Yeah, that would be lit. For sure. Yeah, I do love Carol, though. Carol, I mean, I once told my mom that she was Carol.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I've met your mom, so I think that's a fair assessment.
She's just, like, a Jewish mom.
Yeah, very much so. Like, especially since they're also from Jersey, so the parallels. The parallels are definitely there. I mean, my favorite line of Carol, and I've told you this before, was definitely from the first season when she's sitting in their, like, staff meeting or whatever, and she goes, I haven't talked in so long.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, relatable content.
Yeah, I adore her. She's so good at, like, playing that role, but, like, intentionally being annoying, but you still love how annoying she is.
Yeah, because she kind of, like, parallels what people feel about their moms, where they're, like, mom is just kind, like, overbearing and wants the best for you, but doesn't know how to, like, not be in your business.
Right, yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
You're just like, please, please give me, like, a little bit of space.
And she's just like, no.
Yeah, I mean, I do that with my mom all the time. Like, sometimes when she's riding in the car with me, she'll just, like, tell me, like, oh, you should do this. I'm like, do you want to drive?
Basically. I think it, like, the show, if the purpose of the show is to, like, make us appreciate our moms a little bit more, I think it pretty much nails that.
Yeah. I feel like, honestly, that might be, like, the whole through line for that, is to appreciate your parents and the fact that they also have, like, hopes and dreams and aspirations.
Stuff that, going on, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, that whole thing with Carol coming to work at the studio was, she had dreams that she wanted to be, like, a news person, but had to put her dreams on hold to, like, be a mother.
Yeah.
Which is a common theme, because...
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's just, like, a common thing that you hear from, like, mothers, or even just see of the representation of mothers in the media and stuff.
Right.
I mean, now they're kind of more, well... There's that whole thing where now it's just like, I can have it all! But, It's definitely,
which ironically was like a huge through line in 30 Rock.
Yeah. So, I don't know what that's about.
Having it all.
No, just like that being the through line in 30 Rock, and then like, I don't know. Anyway, good lessons.
Women be having dreams.
Yeah. So, really, that's all it is women be having dreams. And
white women have dreams, too, okay?
So, I guess now we have to do I ship this with Katie and what was?
Greg.
Greg, yes. I definitely almost said it.
You said what?
No, I remembered his name this time. I was about to say Greg.
Uh-huh.
Do we ship this? Yes. I think I do, because they seemed like a good fit. They like understood each other.
I really liked how they developed it as a ship, where it didn't start off with like one of them pining over the other, and it didn't like, I don't know, I feel like it almost, at the beginning I was like, oh, if they went down a romantic road with this, that would be fun, but they like weren't heading there initially.
Yeah.
It but kinda, then they did, and it was great.
Yeah, because the way that they kind of brought it up was very much like how people realize their feelings sometimes, or I don't think Katie even noticed it until her mom said something.
Oh, yeah. Which is, like, you know, in line for the entire show, so.
Yeah. Because Katie needs her mom, honestly.
Yeah.
As much as she tries to pretend that she doesn't, she's just like, no, I need her. But yeah, I thought they were a great pairing, because I think they got them together at the end of the second season, which, you know, Rip will never get to see, but at least they got together, so we won't have to wonder.
Yeah, they really shellacked them. They were like, all right, then these two were together also, blah, blah, blah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, see ya. But I think the main reason I enjoyed them as a ship was, like, they didn't start liking each other romantically until they found out how good they worked together as a team.
Yeah.
Like, they really, like, I feel like with most, here I go again, most hetero ships on TV, it's like, oh, they just like each other. Why? Because they do. And with them, it was really about how they worked together first, and how like how well they worked together. And then it was like, oh, this is also maybe a person I could see myself being with. Which I was like, that we need more of that.
Yeah, which I can appreciate, because, like, interestingly enough, I'm watching Cloak and Dagger on Freeform, and like the whole
I've seen stuff on that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's
definitely original for what they're trying to do, because I feel like I haven't seen that story on television yet.
Right.
But I think like the whole log line for that is like these two teenagers like try and figure out their powers while they fall in love or something like that. But, like, so when I read that log line, I just assumed that they were just going to, like, slap them together, and I was going to have to, like, you know, grit my teeth and bear it. But really, they're,
right,
like,
right.
They're not, like, those two characters, like, aren't together at all. Like, even within, like, the first, like, actually most episodes, they're not even in the same location. So,
okay.
They're really doing the long game of, like, making you want them to be together.
Okay.
Which I think more shows can benefit from, like, learning from that, because it's, like, sometimes you don't, like, we don't want you to, like, force it on us. We want them to be together. Kind of like...
Absolutely.
Because you've seen Fringe, right? Like, kind of like what they did on Fringe.
Yeah.
Where they, like, made them... Like, they made us want them to be together after a period of time. Because you're just like...
Oh, yeah. I wanted them to be together so badly on Fringe. That was a great long game.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting off topic. Those are not comedies. what else do we have? So I know another show I definitely want to talk about was The Tick.
Yes.
Because yeah. I think The Tick on Amazon, which I'm sure a lot of people don't watch because I feel like out of all of the streaming services, I feel like the least amount of people watch Amazon Prime original shows.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, sans like Transparent, which I think was also canceled.
Finally, bye.
After it'd been on for 1,000 years, what felt like.
Honestly, it was such a good show, and then they just kind of, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, but The Tick is a reboot. I was about to say revival. Mm-hmm. It's not really a revival. It is a reboot, 90s show. Was it?
Yep.
It was the 90s. I was trying to, because you know the 90s and early 2000s really just blend together.
They do. No, I think it was the 90s.
Yeah. With, who's the dude I was talking about? Patrick Warburton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the original Tick. So, he was replaced by another actor whose name I cannot remember, but I remember he was in that movie with Melissa McCarthy, Spy.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was like, I think he was like Italian in that movie. He was like the kind of a sleazy Italian spy dude.
I don't remember that, but
Well,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I've seen the movie, like, a few times, so I remember that. But, he's the Tick, and I don't know why I'm so into him in that suit. I was just like, why is the Tick... why is the Tick hot? I don't understand.
Like, when you were trying to convince me to watch it, that was, like, the first thing you texted me, and I was like, alrighty.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, so... with The Tick.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember specifically anything that, I mean, honestly, it's just a good superhero comedy.
Yes, which I normally don't enjoy the superhero, not enjoy, but, like, I'm not about to be like, oh, the superhero genre, you know, it's just not one of my favorites. But this is a really good, like, just kind of offbeat comedy one.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Louisa from Jane the Virgin, like the actress who plays her. Oh my God, what was that?
That's literally the thunder.
Jeez, that was so loud.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I am under attack, friends.
The Fire Nation is attacking.
Everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Yep. The weather is a little crazy here right now. Sorry about that, people.
Yeah, but the actress who plays Louisa in Jane the Virgin is Miss Lint in The Tick, and I think she's so good in that role, especially since it's such a opposite to her role in Jane the Virgin, because she, like, plays that kind of unstable character. But in this one, she kind of plays an unstable character in a different way.
Yeah.
Also, there's just, like, there's a lot of good, like, characters. Or actors who just, like, pop up in there. So, I think his name's, like... See, I was about to say Brian Greenbaum or something like that, but I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like, plays her, like, ex-husband or ex-boyfriend or something, and they still live together in that apartment.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because she'll just be, like, having evil meetings, and he's just, like... there. He's just like, don't mind me, just in the kitchen. As a roommate would be.
I know. I love dysfunctional villains. Like, any, like, villain character that also, like, portrays, like, huge human flaws all the time is just a winner for me. I love her character.
Absolutely. Also,
that's my favorite type of villain.
I feel like a lot of the characters in that show are just unstable. Like, there's that one, I forget what his name is. He's like the high-tech superhero guy who has like the boat or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, completely unstable.
And, like, when he first shows up, he's, like, totally badass. And then he, like, they slowly start to realize that he's, like...
not. He's just insane and obsessed.
Yep.
Also, like, Danger Boat, which is his boat or whatever. My God, in the second half of the first season, him and Arthur have, like, this moment, and it's so odd. It's so funny. Because you're just like, is this boat coming on to him? Like, so you're just like, can a boat be gay? I guess if the AI...
age-old question.
I guess so. But
it's a quality, that gift.
Yes. But can they really, when they don't technically have a sex? I guess they can if they, like, choose their gender.
Hi, welcome to Gender Studies on 2 a.m.
Welcome to Gender Politics.
Love it.
But I think it's a really funny show. It's a very quick watch. Like, the whole first season is a very quick watch.
Yeah.
Because each episode's, like, 30 minutes, I believe, so... You get through... I don't even think it's, like, a full 30 minutes. I think it's, like, 20-something minutes.
Yeah, it's super quick.
Yeah, if they wanted to... Honestly, it almost feels like they keep it in that time space so that if they wanted to, like, put it on an actual channel, they could, because they have the space to, like, put in commercials.
Yeah.
Which I don't... I hope they don't, because...
It's Amazon. I don't think they're enough.
Yeah. But there's a lot of really great humor in it, so check it out if you have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the only way that you can watch it. I have no idea. I've had Amazon Prime for so long now, I don't know how else you could watch Amazon shows.
I guess illegally.
So, yeah. I would definitely just give it a little watch.
Yep, super quick. Do it. Watch it.
Yes. I think we have time for one more. Do we have another one?
Well, I have The Mick on my list.
Oh, good segue, because it rhymes.
Mm-hmm, The Tick to The Mick.
Yeah.
Also, Rip The Mick. God, like...
Yeah, a lot of these shows that we're talking about have been canceled as of late.
Yeah, I guess that's just the definition of underrated.
Absolutely. So, you know, at least now you can be like, oh, I can go and actually watch it. Because most people, I feel like, are like, oh, well, if it's running or whatever, I don't want to have to, like, catch up. But, you know, now it's definitely over. You can just go watch it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, The Mick is, Caitlin Olsen's, tour de force, I suppose.
Yes.
Did AP Bio get canceled?
I don't think it did, unfortunately.
Okay. Because the fact that it didn't, and The Mick did, I just... I would like to speak to someone about that.
I would like to speak to your manager. Well, The Mick was also on Fox, and everyone knows that that Fox is just notorious for canceling stuff out of nowhere.
Yeah, but, you know, they didn't have to do her like that.
True. I mean, they, like, basically... canceled most of their programming, which
they
is
did.
Weird.
They really, like, they did a clean sweep.
Yeah.
They really came in and
just they came in like Boondock Saints and just shot every show. They're like, you're fired, you're fired. Because
they came in like a wrecking ball.
Absolutely. I think they also canceled Adam. I did read that they canceled Adam Scott's show, Ghosted, as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, which honestly,
it wasn't super great. But
yeah, I felt like they were going to.
Yeah, wasn't the best, but
I mean, talk about a show that should have been on Pop TV.
Hey, don't do Pop TV like that. But yeah, the Mick, I didn't expect to love as much as I did. I think when I first saw, like, promos for it and stuff, I was like, oh, like, I'm going to watch this for Caitlin Olsen, but I don't know that I'm going to like it. And it was just beyond.
Absolutely. I 1,000% agree, because I feel like when I started watching it, I was just like, I don't know. I was expecting it to almost slightly be in the vein of It's Always Sunny, which it kind of is, but
similar, like, raunchy humor, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically It's Always Sunny for network television.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. It really has an underlying, like, more so of a hopefulness, I think, than Always Sunny does. Like, there's a lot more, like, good family messages, like, not family values obviously, but like more like, oh, we're all stuck in this shit situation together, but we love each other.
Yeah,
I don't know, or we come to love each other, sort of thing.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah.
I think with I think with the Mick, I really got to see a lot more of Kate Olsen's humor, which is something I've always wanted from It's Always Sunny. Because, I mean, in the latter seasons, or I'll say, like, definitely, I think it's around, like, season 5 or something like that, they start to feature Dee a bit more. Like, it's 4 or 5 where they feature her more, but I've always wanted to see more of her character.
Yeah.
And with the Mick, we got to see more of Caitlin Olsen and like how funny she can actually be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, she's obviously funny on It's Always Sunny. Like, Dee is 100% my favorite character, but they don't really let her shine like the Mick does, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've been trying more, like you were saying, it's gotten better with her on It's Always Sunny. Like, she's more featured. But yeah, she's definitely way more able to let her actual comedic talent shine on the Mick.
Yeah, and not just her. I love the comedic. I love Alma. Alma is like,
oh my god, yes,
my favorite on the whole show. Like, from the first episode where they take her from being like that kind of like mousy maid, and like the first opportunity. Honestly, I don't even know if it was the first opportunity. She kind of, like, peer pressured her into, like, drinking or doing drugs or something like that. One of the two. Or both.
I think it was possibly both.
Yeah. And then, like, right after that, she's just, like, she was like, oh, thank you. I've been waiting for this opportunity my entire life.
Basically. She's just balls to the wall after that.
Oh, so good. Like, the wacky hijinks.
I love her.
The wacky hijinks that entire group would get into was just so funny.
I love the niece. I forget what her name is, but
Sabrina?
Sabrina, yes. Who is the biggest bitch. Oh my god, I love her. I love their relationship.
And how she's always talking about, like, you're 1,000.
Yeah.
She's like, didn't you go through menopause, like, 50 years ago? Oh,
yeah, she's so good. Their dynamic is probably my favorite on the show. Like,
I agree. I like them, and I love Mick with the youngest.
Oh yeah,
he's so cute.
Ben, isn't his name Ben?
Yes. Oh my god, he's such a cute kid.
Yeah, he's so good too at like delivering those really fucked up lines where you're like, oh my god, this kid doesn't know what he's saying. Like,
yeah, and the funny, I mean, I don't know if that's like, all I know is I was like, oh, this is such a cute kid, and I started to think, oh no, is he gonna be like one of those kids who's gonna like grow up and be really ugly? Because you know that happens to a lot of child actors where it's like they grow up, you're like, what the fuck happened?
Oh my god. But well, in any case.
True.
He is a child, so.
It is true.
Are you going to think that about your own kids, Chad?
I don't know. It depends on what they look like.
I mean, you probably will think that.
I mean, I won't say it to their face. I'll keep it in a diary.
Keep it in a diary.
And then I'll give it to them on their, like, 16th birthday.
Oh my god. Just scar them for life, casually.
Yeah, I mean, in the back of the diary is going to be a check for therapy. It's like, I've already set up the therapy session.
That is fair.
Now, the character I definitely didn't like was frickin' the middle child. I forget what his name is.
Yeah, he's not... I mean, he has, like, funny storylines and stuff, like, you know, but...
Chip, that's what it is.
Yeah, Chip. He's not... I feel like he's no one's favorite character.
I mean, the fact that he's a redhead also just adds to it. I feel like he just becomes, like, the full-on redhead stepchild that, like, no one likes.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm just like...
I think the fact that the show acknowledges how, like, annoying he is and that nobody likes him, it kind of, like, makes the character better in a way. Like, it kind of acknowledges his annoyingness.
Yeah.
So it's not as annoying in a way.
Yeah. I mean, his character definitely made me feel like, oh, this kid would grow up and, like, be in Patty's Pub.
Definitely.
Because he was the worst. It's like, no one likes him, then he's just like, whatever, I'll just call the cops. Who cares? You guys don't like me anyway.
Yep.
And I'm like, ugh, Chip.
Definitely. Ugh.
And I feel like with Jimmy, I don't know what it was. It's just like, as the show progressed, I feel like I started to like Jimmy more and more.
Definitely.
To the point where I'm just like, why am I into Jimmy, though?
How did I know you were going to say that?
Because I feel like that's my through line. It's like, why am I interested in these weird characters?
Chad, love yourself.
That's my sub-segment of this show.
Oh my god.
It'll just be called Chad, love yourself.
Chad, love yourself. No, Jimmy definitely grew on me. He had good, like, character progression.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Even though it wasn't, like, a lot, but it was just enough where, like, he really started to, like, love being, like, an uncle and, like, you know, you could kind of see where Mickey liked him and stuff, so...
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think one of the things I definitely wanted to talk about was, like, because we've talked about this before, like, the finale for season two and, like, how dark it is, considering.
The which finale?
It was the season two finale, wasn't it?
The final episode? Because
yeah.
They canceled it?
Yes. Well, I guess I should have said that.
Yeah, it ended on such a dark note. I was like, why?
Yeah, because I know we both were just like, this is so dark for what the show is, because it's like, as ridiculous as the show is and raunchy and whatnot, it doesn't get that dark, even when, like, that one episode where that they basically blew up an old woman. Like... It never got that dark, and in the final episode, it's just, like, the darkest.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Maybe they were trying to save themselves from being canceled or something. I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know.
It was a little upsetting because, like, now, like, that's where it ends.
I know.
The show ended.
It just ends on this super dark note, and I'm like, well, where do we go from here?
What are we supposed to do with this?
So, I mean, guys, definitely go watch The Mick, but be ready for that last episode to be, like, really dark.
Yeah, maybe just skip the last episode. Just watch up until.
I don't know. Like, the line where they were talking about Sabrina's toe shooting off because of the lightning was so funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, it went through her and her big toe shot off. I'm like, what?
Oh my god.
But yeah, I think The Mick is definitely worth the watch.
100%.
Absolutely.
Please go mourn this beautiful show that was killed before its time.
Absolutely.
Kaylin Olson, we love you. Tweet at us.
Oh, forever.
Etc.
So I guess that just concludes it for this segment of underrated comedies. I'm sure we'll do another podcast on underrated comedies, like,
yes, sometime in the future. I definitely have more. I mean, this is like my genre.
That is true.
This is, you know, to me what the teen drama ep was to you, so
yes. You know. So, next episode, we're going to be doing Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yes.
Which...
we did decide that was the next one.
It will be quite a ride. I think you guys should saddle
up. Buckle up for that.
Buckle up, bitches. Hang on to your weaves.
We have a lot to go over.
Absolutely.
Lots to discuss on that one. So
tune in.
Yeah, thanks for,
as always, follow us on Twitter. I kind of keep up with it.
I actually have seen you tweeting now.
Yes, I keep up with it as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because I often forget that it's not my own personal Twitter, so I have to, like, switch back over to my personal one to go post things. But yes, please just follow us on @it's2am. We are on Twitter. I say stuff.
Follow us on Instagram.
We do not have an Instagram.
Follow us on Snapchat.
We do not have a Snapchat.
Just follow us.
Yeah, also follow us on our non-existent Periscope. It's a real thing. Look it up.
Bye. Wasn't that a thing, like, a long time ago? Wasn't that, like, a...
No, people still use it, I think.
Oh, God. Everyone, get lives.
I know. There's, like, Facebook Live now. Come on.
Periscope. That's so funny. All right. Well, thanks for joining us this week.
Bye.
Bye.